بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، نحمد ونصلي على رسول الكريم، ما بعد. قال: فأخبرني عن أماراتها. قال: أن تلد الأمة ربتها، وأن ترى الحفاة العراة العالة رعاء الشاة يتطاولون في البنيان. ثم انطلق فلبثت مليا، ثم قال: يا عمر، أتدري من السائل؟ قلت: الله ورسول أعلم. قال: فإنه جبريل أتاكم يعلمكم أمر دينكم. رواه مسلم. Continuing with the discussion on Hadith of Jibreel alayhi salam, Allah's Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was asked a question by Jibreel that informed me what are the signs of Qiyamah. He said that you will find that the slave girls of my ummah will give birth to their masters. We discussed this quite a bit in detail. That is referring to a period when the disobedience of one's parents will become something that will become in the norm, the fashion, and obviously the prohibition with regards to that. The second sign which Rasulullah ﷺ mentioned, he said, you will see barefooted, naked, hungry shepherds competing with one another in putting up huge and lofty buildings. As I mentioned, that when it comes to the signs of Qiyamah, very often figurative speech would be used or found in the hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. What is the actual meaning of this expression? Two meanings ulama ikram give. One is closer to the actual literal translation. This expression of shepherds barefooted refers to the Bedouin Arabs. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, a time will come when the Bedouin Arabs will become very, very wealthy, and they will compete with one another in putting up lofty buildings. We can see nowadays, particularly in the Middle East, various areas where there seems to be a competition going on as to who can put up the tallest structure or the tallest building in the world. Presently, what is considered to be the tallest building in the world is found right in the heart of the Middle East. So this is a clear indication of the sign of Qiyamah having become apparent. The other meaning of this, given ulama ikram give to this, is obviously a meaning which is figurative, that those who are dishonored and disgraced, that is of a lowly social status, they will become the rulers. And we find that a similar meaning is found in many other ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. For example, وَكَانَ زَعِيمُ الْقَوْمِ أَرْضَلُهُمْ, that the most morally decrepit, most dishonored, people with the worst characters will be given positions of trust, positions of rulership. This is another thing we see happening throughout the entire world. In fact, politicians, we are living in such a period or era that the more astute a liar a person is, the more morally decrepit is, we find people look up to such people, give them positions of honor, give them positions of trust. So this is another sign of Qiyamah. One hadith, it comes, إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِي فَانْتَذِرِ السَّاعَ. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi said, when you see positions of trust, whether it starts from the level of masjid, in areas nowadays you will see that the trustees of the masjid are people who don't even know how to make salah. People are given positions of trust on Islamic organizations who have absolutely no dini background. All these are signs and indications of Qiyamah having come near. That إِذَا وُسِّدَ الْأَمْرُ, positions of trust, authority are given to people إِلَىٰ غَيْرِ أَهْلِهِ, who don't have ahl for it, who are not worthy of it. Then Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, فَانْتَذِرِ السَّاعَ, then wait for Qiyamah to come. To continue with the hadith, Umar radiallahu ta'ala who says that thereafter this person got up and he went away. Umar says, I waited a little while, and then Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam addressed me and said, Ya Umar, that Umar, atadri man isail, that you know who the person that was asking the questions was. So I said, Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam know best. So Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam went on to explain, فَإِنَّهُ Jibreel, it was Jibreel alayhi salam, who came to teach you the affairs of your religion, who came to teach you the affairs of Islam. With regards to this expression, came to teach you the affairs of Islam, as we mentioned, that we find that the basic tenets of Islam in a very, very comprehensive manner are expressed in this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. What is Iman? What is Islam? What the beliefs of a Muslim should be? What the practices of a Muslim should be? Now the question arises that why choose this particular manner of explaining this? When Jibreel comes, he asks questions, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam answers, and then he says, Sadaqta, yes, you have spoken the truth. One explanation for this ulama give is that in the time of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, if you look at the general populace among Sahaba Kiram, there were Bedouins, people of nomadic background, simple people. And very often they would come and ask questions to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, sometimes unnecessary questions. And this would cause taklif to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So on occasion we find that they were prohibited from this. Verses came down in the Quran, لَا تَسَلُوا أَنَّ شَيَاءٍ تُبْدَ لَكُمْ تَسُؤْكُمْ. Stop asking about things that if it becomes apparent to you, it will become a cause of hurt to you, or it will become a source of difficulty to you. So because this prohibition had come, certain groups among Sahaba started desisting from asking questions to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, afraid that we are giving taklif to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So because of that, there was a danger and a possibility that certain necessary and important aspects of deen would be hidden from the ummah. So to address that, Allah Ta'ala created a situation like this where Jibreel came and asked all these questions to Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, explaining the basic tenets of deen. From this ulama explained that we learn a very important lesson. One riwayat that comes, حُسْنُ السُّعَالِ نِصْفُ الْعِلْمِ. That to ask good questions, to ask good questions, this is half of knowledge. So we should not be afraid to ask people of knowledge. Allah Ta'ala says in the Quran, فَسَأَلُوا أَهْلَ الذِّكْرِ إِن كُنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. Ask the people of knowledge if you do not know. But we should ask necessary questions. We should ask relevant questions. We should ask questions that are important. Second very important thing we learned from this was the haya, the manner in which Jibreel came. He sat in a position of tashahud. He sat in front of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, his knee touching the knee of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He placed his hand on the thigh of Nabiya Pak Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. In other words, a position of absolute humility and respect. Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, be most humble and respectful to persons from whom you receive knowledge. Ulama explained that when we acquire knowledge from someone, for barakah to be in that knowledge, for the nur of that knowledge to come in our hearts, respect for the source of the knowledge is very, very important. This is why we are strongly encouraged to respect the ulama ikram, because they are the source of knowledge. Ali radiallahu ta'ala used to say, I am a slave to the person who has taught me even a simple word. That person may sell me or he may set me free. Mughira rahmatullah used to say that we feared our teacher Ibrahim rahmatullah alayhi more than even the kings of our time. Imam Abu Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi has mentioned, he used to say that I have heard from eminent people that a student who does not respect his teacher is never successful. You'll hear a lot of people sometimes in madrasa, people that have acquired the knowledge of deen. Sometimes a person is not very astute in his studies, but he had a lot of respect for his ustad, for his teachers. Allah Ta'ala takes a lot of work from such a person. On the other hand, somebody is very, very astute, someone is very intelligent, but does not have true respect in his heart for the source of his knowledge, for his asatiza, etc. We've observed over the ages, many, many people have been deprived of knowledge, deprived of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala taking work from them. So it is very, very important that we have the respect in our hearts for those whom we acquire knowledge from. And coming back to this point of asking questions, this is something also that is very, very important. When we ask questions also, when we acquire knowledge, when we ask fatawa, etc., let it be something that is relevant, something that is important. Don't start nitpicking and don't start going into things that are not relevant and not important. One famous incident took place in the time of Musa alayhi salam, which is mentioned in quite detail in Surah Baqarah. You might have heard of this. Normally we hear this expression, the cow of Bani Israel. Somebody got murdered that time. They didn't know who murdered him. They went to Musa alayhi salam, asked him that, tell us who murdered this person. So Musa alayhi salam said that slaughter a cow, take a piece of the remains of the carcass of that cow and strike it on the body of this dead man. He'll come to life and he'll tell you who murdered him. So instead of carrying out the command of Allah Ta'ala, what they did, they started asking unnecessary questions. First question they asked, they said, O Musa, tell us what type of cow is it? Instead of just slaughtering a cow, what type of cow? First question. So Allah Ta'ala revealed in the Quran, Allah Ta'ala said to them that, O Musa, tell them that it is a cow that is neither very old nor very young, in age in between. Instead of leaving it at that again, Musa tell us what is the color of the cow. So Allah Ta'ala said, tell them the cow has to be bright yellow. Then they said, tell us, a lot of cows like that, give us more details. So Allah Ta'ala said, it must be such a cow that has never tilled the fields, has never been used to water the fields. The color must be bright yellow throughout. There must be absolutely no blemish. They carried on like this, question upon question. The affair became more and more difficult till eventually they had to pay 10 times the weight of the cow in gold to find a cow that fulfilled the description. Whereas when the order came initially, if they had carried it out, it would have been sufficient to slaughter any cow. So from this, very, very important, that the questions that we ask must be relevant questions. There's one humorous example given about one student of Imam Muhammad rahmatullah Ali, very famous student of Imam Abu Hanifa. He used to have dars, and in his class there was one student. 6 months went, the student never asked any questions. So finally one day he got a little bit upset with the student. He says, 6 months I'm teaching you, not one day you ask a question. Has nothing occurred to you? So he said, yes, there is something I want to ask. He said, what is it that you want to ask? He said that you told us that when the sun sets, we must make Maghrib Salah. What happens if the sun doesn't set? So Imam Muhammad rahmatullah Ali said that sukutuka khairum min kalamik. That in your case, for you to keep quiet was better than you spoke. In other words, how little you knew, I had no idea. Now I've realized what is the level of your understanding. So it's questions also is part of ilm, is part of deen. Innama shifa'ul ayya su'al. The cure to ignorance is asking questions, but also the niyat behind the question has to be correct. Ask relevant questions, things that are pertinent to our lives, and don't ask questions to make things difficult. Don't nitpick. All these various lessons we learn of the adab and etiquette from this hadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and very, very important, I'm reiterating the point, is to have respect for the one from whom we have received knowledge. Humble ourselves before them. That is what will give us barakah and blessings in our knowledge. Allah just gives us.